Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another, and don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation, but then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano, and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof, while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather-appointed seats are available features.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
Hey, I'm Mike.
I watched the first half of Sophie's Choice.
I watched the second half of Sophie's Choice.
And this is the other half.
I guess we're still continuing Women's History Month.
I guess so. Except, did this person exist?
No. No,
then she's fine. False, it's not real then. Yeah. It's not real.
Yeah, yeah, no. It's not real.
We're doing pretend.
We're doing, except for there's an aspects of this movie that are real.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
You
can't argue with that.
You don't want to go on record saying that some of those aspects are not real?
You know, that's from my other podcast. Follow me on the dark web.
So the reason we watched this movie is me and Ethan, we went to go see The Brutalist.
We did.
At a theater, the Vista in LA. And Before The Brutalist, a trailer for this movie came on. And the both of us sort of like looked at each other and both like, wow, neither of us have seen this movie. And the trailer made it feel like this was like some cute little upbeat little film Meryl Streep and two guys.
I can't remember the one guy's name. Or the actor. Because the Nathan guy is a big...
Nathan guy is a big actor, and it's bothering me that I also don't remember.
Kevin Kline.
Kevin Kline and another guy. And they were just, like, running around, having a grand old time in New York. And we were both sort of just like, wow, I guess we, like, really misidentified what this movie was about.
No.
That's how I felt.
Maybe you felt that way. So for me, I looked at it and I was like, oh, wow, this is the sad movie. This is the movie where everyone's like, everyone says the thing where it's like between two choices, the hard choice is Sophie's Choice. It's like an impossible decision. You can't make it. Either one has equal cons and pros.
Right.
What I saw is I thought this was like a whole movie that took place like in the like Holocaust. During that time.
Like Auschwitz.
Because I was like, how could anything be sadder? And it's like, well, what about the aftermath of
that
sort of thing and people coming to America?
Having to live like a normal life afterwards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With kind of all this horrific history behind only a year ago it like freaking happened.
I guess we probably should have like known that was gonna happen because this was a trailer that came out before The Brutalist.
Yeah, I think about it, it's a very similar movie. Like I'm like, oh shit, this is a very similar type of thing where it's like someone comes to America, tries to assimilate,
immigrate,
and then shenanigans happen. Mm-hmm. Some of them sexier than others.
Yes. This one, I mean, not very sexy in my half of the movie, but this
clearly, very sexy.
But clearly there's two guys who are like just really trying to jump the bones of poor Meryl Streep, who is this poor Polish immigrant from Germany who really going through it.
Mm-hmm.
Really going through it.
Yeah.
Before we continue, also, I want to say Meryl Streep, incredible.
She won an Oscar for this.
Understandably.
Yeah,
holy
really
fucking
good.
Shit. She disappears in this role for me.
You think she has an accent the whole time?
She does.
Yeah.
Like, and this is non-AI accent.
Take that, Brutalist.
Take that, Brutalist. Like, genuinely, like, she's so good. She sounds so casual in this, like, accent that she's accomplishing. Yeah. Like, holy fucking shit. I was blown away. Every single scene that she's in is like a masterclass.
She's the best part of the movie.
She's
best part of the movie.
Honestly, yeah. Like, the movie's good. She's great.
The movie's interesting.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't know. It's kind of a messy movie.
It's a little bit
but it made me think.
It did.
It kind of
stuck with
me. You
know what made me think? Meryl Streep is a great actress.
Well, I mean, that's a fair thought. It's a fair thought. I won't disparage that.
She's so fucking good in this movie. And like, even the little moments, like there's one scene, like at the beginning of my half of the movie, she's talking to, what the fuck is this?
Stingo.
Stingo. Yeah. Is that his real name?
That's what he says. Everyone calls him that. So that's how he's credited in the movie. He's played by an actor.
He's been in a lot of
Peter
shit.
Nicole?
Wasn't he in like Porky's or something?
My God, he was in Porky's. Holy shit. I'm like, that guy's a familiar face. And I was like, oh, he's a familiar face from a movie I hate.
Yeah. And it's like, he is, I mean, I don't think he's miscast because like
no,
he's playing like a guy.
He's He's playing kind of a dweeb.
He's playing a dweeb. And, like, Meryl Streep is, like, a fucking, like, angel on earth. Like, someone, like, I don't even know how to describe her in this film. And he's just this little dweeb. And, like, I walk into the movie, and there's a scene between the two of them, and she is just acting circles around this fucking guy.
I love the way you're like, I walked into the movie. Like, it was just on. And you're just like, oh, Sophie's Choice is on. Good thing
I guess I'll watch it.
It's the second half. I have to do this for the podcast anyway. Let me sit down. Who's this Stingo fellow?
Oh, the Stingo.
Oh, he is not holding a candle to Meryl Streep's acting.
It's truly insane.
It is true.
He's acting. It's like, it's crazy. It's like, I feel like it said the same thing about like Sally Field, where it's like, you look up acting in the dictionary, you look at Meryl Streep's acting in Sophie's Choice. She's doing an accent. She is learning.
She's doing capital A accent.
She's doing a capital A accent. She's learning a new language. Like, she's doing the thing that I remember when Martin Landau played, he was in Ed Wood.
Okay.
And he played the guy that played Dracula, Bela Lugosi.
Uh-huh.
And he got the award. He won for Best Supporting Actor. For that role, because he played a guy with an accent who was trying to hide the fact that he had an accent. And I feel like she's kind of doing the same thing, where it's like, you can tell she's like embarrassed about the fact that she has this like accent.
I did think it was kind of interesting seeing how she kind of played with that sort of role, and also like as her English kind of got better as the movie went on too, which was kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Which is just something that would happen if you're like just constantly using English.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do agree. Like, I think she did a really good job faking learning English.
It's truly
in a way,
insane.
Which I think is partially the script, probably the directing also helped. But I do think in the end, it's like, it's very hard to pull off the fact that she's just like, oh, what do you say? You know, stuff like that. Like the little things where you're like, oh, people with English as a second language is like, that's how they talk. And is anyone learning languages like that?
And she's like, in my half the movie, she has like full on monologues. And it's like, it's, I don't know, man. Like, I just get lost in her fucking like words. Like, I was like, this is insane. I truly haven't seen this good of acting
in a while, really.
And we just got off a bunch of fucking Oscar movies.
You know. So you're saying Adrian Brody didn't give it?
I mean, not honestly, kind of not to the same extent as Meryl Streep does in this film.
Yeah, I kind of agree totally with that, honest to be with, honest. Yeah. Now I'm thinking about it. Like,
yeah, like he's good. Like, I mean, you know, like give him the award, but maybe don't let him do a speech.
A 10-minute long speech? Yeah,
but like she is killing it in this fucking film. It's crazy. It reminds me of like, remember when we saw Deer Hunter? And we were just like, she was like, she's barely in that movie. And she's just fucking eating every scene up. Like, she's just doing everything she possibly can. I don't know, man. I was, like, blown away by her in this film.
Yeah, like, she's... It really shows, like, oh, yeah, she's a classic actor.
And
like,
you're right. This movie is uneven as fuck.
Yeah.
There are some weird... Like, in my half even, there's some weird fucking moves this movie does.
Yes. There's so just moments where I'm just like, what are we doing?
Yeah,
this is
right?
Sophie's fucking choice. I'm supposed to feel fucking sad at the end. What is this, like, I don't know, it's like going to see, like, Schindler's List, and then suddenly you're just like, Schindler wants to fuck. And it's like, what are we doing here?
Like, genuinely. Tell me a little bit about your half the movie. I just wanted to set it up going, like, if you guys end up actually wanting to see this movie, which, by the way, fucking depressing, very long, really, you know, keep your eyes peeled for this up-and-coming actress, Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, exactly. By the way, this movie wins the award for boringest intro sequence I've ever seen in my life. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something to say.
Really quick. You know what else it also wins for is most boring protagonist.
Oh, Stingo?
Yeah. Stingo is the protagonist of the movie.
It feels like Fried Green Tomatoes like fell into the movie.
It really does.
And like in a negative way.
The whole movie's narrated by older Stingo.
Older Stingo.
And he's just like, I mean, I'm assuming.
I feel like this was a big trend back then where they're always like, you got to have someone come in and narrate them past selves. That's just a great framing device.
I guess.
And that was like a big thing in the 80s, 90s. Like, I felt like a lot of movies did that where it's like an older person reflecting on themselves.
I feel like if this movie were made now, it would be like no narration, focus on Sophie. Like really fucking put Sophie in the center of it all.
Yeah.
Because it's just like the movie ends with Stingo going like,
well, shucks.
Like genuinely, he's like, well, shucks, I sure did love Sophie. She sure was a hot piece of ass. And I was just like, who gives a shit what you think about Sophie? Like, and I'm sure the movie opens in a boring way, too, because
it's boring. You know what? It's more boring than Stingo narrating. It's literally just credits with no music. It's just showing, like, who's in the movie.
What?
Just black screen.
That's
just
shocking.
It's crazy. It is unbelievably boring.
Never in a billion years could I imagine. Just words on a screen.
It's just words on a screen. Like, I'm not kidding. It is. I was just like, wow, this is, I've not seen an intro. It's just like, fuck it.
The balls.
And I'm like, the movie is weird because it felt like it was going to be a prestige movie.
Yeah.
And I watched it. I'm just kind of like, I don't know.
I know, right?
I don't know if it's got the sauce. And like this beginning opening is like a movie, something you do before like an epic or something.
Yeah.
But it has the runtime of almost an epic.
It's like two and a half hours long. 2 hours, 40 minutes.
I don't feel like it though.
Dude, yeah. There's something about this fucking movie that's... I don't know. It's not rotten, but there's something fucking misaligned in this film.
It just needs a trimming. Like, it really needs just it just needs an editor.
There is a solid hour and a half film in this movie. You know what I mean?
I think so. Yeah. Maybe even hour 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah. I agree with that. And most of it's Sophie.
It's true. So the narration says, "Call me Stingo." And I said, I thought he said Stinko.
Call me Stinko, man.
And I was like, Stinko? And I had to rewind. And I was like, turn on the captions. And I was like,
Stingo.
Oh, Stingo.
Yeah,
okay.
His name is Stingo.
He's like, I'm going to the Sodom of the North. He's a Southerner, by the way.
Yeah, the Sodom
of the North. New York City to be a big time rider. Yeah. But it's too expensive to get apartments in Manhattan. So I went to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So he moves into this big pink house with this landlord lady. Yeah. And this pink house is gorgeous. I didn't know it would have like multiple like rooms in it that they're just like.
It's like a boarding house, right?
I guess it's like a boarding house. Yeah. Multi-family type situation. And Stingo moves in. He meets the landlady. She seems nice.
Yeah.
Carries in so many cans of spam. And it gives me anxiety because this little man is having this, like, trying to get these, like, three pallets of spam on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he gets in there finally and drops it. It gave me so much anxiety. I don't know. That was probably the best acting he did, which was just like, how do I hold
acting.
All the spam?
It was just him carrying heavy loads of spam.
And it was scary.
Yeah.
He finds
Spam-o, more
he
like.
Finds on his all right, we're gonna end the podcast now. Can't top Spam-o. Some people could top Spam-o, sounds like.
Fucking Nathan could top Spam-o, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Anyway,
I feel like Nathan could top Spam-o is like Nathan's hot dog's way of like responding to some kind of like spam on Twitter. Like spam on Twitter is just like, yeah, we're better than Nathan's hot dogs. And Nathan's like, Nathan could top Spam-o. Spam is like, what the fuck,
what
Nathan's
the fuck?
Hot dogs?
Nathan hot dogs, why'd you give me all the smoke? Although we started it, so.
Yeah.
On his door, like between the doorknob and the actual door itself, there was a Walt Whitman book, and left inside, it was an invitation to dine at Sophie's place upstairs.
Sophie's place.
And he's like, whoa, upstairs? And then he looks up, and like the chandelier's like banging around because
they're
fucking so hard. The chandelier's moving.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
This is such a weird opening for this movie.
Yeah.
Like imagine audiences tune in for. Like Sophie's Choice, and they're like, "Hey, it's the guy from Porky's, and he's moving into a boarding house, and people are fucking upstairs." I am in for a laugh riot. I can't
hilarious.
Wait for him to look at a hole so
well,
he
don't
can
worry.
See them fucking upstairs.
Don't worry, Don't worry, they change the mood really quickly.
I'm sure they do.
He goes out and he actually hears like some arguing, and he hears Nathan, wait, and then he calls her a whore.
Oh no!
He looks outside. And they start arguing, like, they come downstairs, they start arguing, because she's trying to get him to stay, and he's just done with her. He's like, I need you, like, I need a case of anthrax. And he fucking grabs her neck,
jeez.
And just, like, holds it and just says, go back to Krakow, go back to Krakow, and just starts saying all the shit, calling her, like, a horrible person, and just, and Stingo's just like, whoa. And Nathan comes down and looks at him, mm-hmm. and says, oh, yeah, you're the new Southerner we wanted to invite. You interested in our drama? And he's like, oh, well, your door was open. And I was just listening. He says, oh, yeah. Oh, I was just listening, huh? Oh, Mr. Southern Bumpkin. Well, you know, we can talk about sports like you have down there, like Lynch and N-words and other slurs I'm not going to repeat on this podcast. Whatever you call them back there.
What
and
a
I'm
great
leave.
Introduction
and
to
I'm
this
just
fucking
like,
guy.
What are we doing? What is she seeing this Nathan guy?
Yeah.
Which is, I think, to the movie's credit, a crazy pullback that they do this
pullback.
Well, they do it they say, obviously you're like, fuck this guy, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
every
yeah.
audience member will be like, wow, grabbed sweet, sweet Meryl Streep by the neck, mm-hmm. called her a whore, yeah. did all these mean things, and said the N-word, walked out the door.
Not a great first drunk, impression.
Not a great first impression, but somehow they're like, pretty cool, though. He's pretty cool, though. Somehow they're like, he's pretty cool, though.
Now?
Not now. But I'm saying, I'm letting you audience
eventually.
Know. Eventually.
Yeah, yeah,
they're
yeah.
like, isn't he terrible?
Yeah.
He's so charismatic. Let's see what Sophie sees in him.
Yeah, yeah.
So Sophie apologizes, like, I'm so sorry. That's not how he really is, you know. Mm-hmm. We'll prove it differently. Just wait. Please yeah. forgive us. And then later, and then that night, she comes and arrives and says, hey, I'm sorry. You know, we invited you to dinner. I brought you dinner. Mm. He says, oh, thank you. And she's like, you're Stinko, right? And he's
she
like,
calls him Stinko.
She does call him Stinko.
There you go.
And he's like, no, it's Stingo. And she's like, oh, okay. Such a sweet name. Mm-hmm. And then he says, sorry about all that. Sorry about all the noise. And he's like, yeah, sorry if I get noisy around here with my typing. Because I'm always on the typewriter because I'm a writer.
I'm so loud on the typewriter. You guys are fucking upstairs shaking my chandelier.
And she's like, oh, it's okay. The typewriter reminds me of my father.
Oh,
and yeah. My father always typing about how Hitler was bad. Anyway, good night, Stingo.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I believe Stingo also has... I could be wrong. I feel like I should rewatch this part. But it felt like Stingo had a tattoo on his arm.
Oh, like she does, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was just a cut to
I
her.
I never
you
see
never
a tattoo.
See his tattoo, and he never admits to being in a camp or anything.
Oh no, not at all.
Okay, then yeah, maybe it's
how
just
would Stingo
him.
Wind up in a camp? I don't know.
He's Jewish?
No,
they somehow sent over there somehow.
No, he's Christian.
I thought he was Jewish.
Oh well, maybe he says that the people he lives around are Christian. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah,
maybe because
yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's why Nathan takes a shining to him.
Oh okay.
But anyway, okay. I thought I saw that wrong because I was like, it feels weird that.
I don't think I don't see it.
Which I think
see
she
tattoo.
Sees her tattoo then at this point.
Okay.
Anyway, so she leaves. He takes the food and he sneaks it back up to someone and like puts it in front of their room, which I guess someone else needs the food more. I don't know.
Oh yeah. Speaking of which, actually, Stingo is like young, right? He's supposed to be like in his early 20s.
Yeah, he's a young guy. He's like,
yeah.
Supposed to be in his early 20s.
He's supposed to be.
He looks
early
like he's
20s.
In his late 20s, yes. Early 30s.
But like, that's the whole thing between him and Sophie is like Sophie is supposed to be like in her mid to late 30s, and he's in his like early 20s.
Oh,
yeah.
Hard to tell.
I agree with
that
you.
That men age like fucking what's something that ages bad? Milk. Milk ages poorly. Milk spoils. No one wants to drink that shit.
Yep,
you gotta smell it.
That's true. That's true. Stinko.
Stinko. So he's gonna go and like he goes and peeks in, and she's like kind of passed out because she just left her door open. And then right. She hears Nathan come home. And Nathan comes back and he goes into her room, and I was like, oh shit! And they just make up immediately, and they just like start kissing. And he's just like being all poetic and says like, "Don't you see, Sophie? We're dying." Anyway.
Okay.
So next day, Sting goes to sleep and he wakes up. Nathan appears in his window. He says, hey, we want to make friends and take you out on this gorgeous summer day.
So totally different.
Totally different guy. Yeah. Says, I'm sorry about last night. He goes to their room. They're all hanging out. They're doing like a funny dance. They're like, we're going to go to Coney Island today. Come with us.
Mm.
And it's like, we like to dress up fun on Sundays. Everyone out there is so boring. And he goes and yells out the window, you're all so boring. And then he starts talking about, how much he loves Sophie, and Nathan just like totally personable guy, and then they start kissing a lot, and
yeah,
Sting goes like, huh, okay,
yes, they're very close to each other around Stingo, like, you know,
a lot, and
I
this,
feel like the PDA is
it's off the charts PDA, yeah. Like I would be like, all right, but Stingo Stingo's into it, I think.
Oh, Stingo
loves it. Stingo's ready for the cuck chair.
Yeah. Oh, Stingo absolutely. Is like Denny from fucking The Room.
Yes,
man.
He is. Yeah. He was the blueprint. Yes. Tommy Wiseau was watching this movie. He was like, oh, Stingo. I inspire
Stingo,
him.
Oh, it's like Denny.
It's like Denny. I make Denny. He will look and see as I fuck beautiful women.
Two's great, but three's a crowd.
So then, Nathan's like, oh, yeah, she's like, she's a goy girl. Mm. He's like, what? It's like, oh, I assume she was Jewish, but she isn't. Mm-hmm. He says Nathan works at Pfizer as a biologist.
Yes.
It's weird to see Pfizer and just like...
It is, isn't it? Right? They keep mentioning Pfizer, and I'm just like, man, it's been around forever.
Pfizer's an institute, American institution. And then he says, like, I think that Sophie had leukemia at one point, but we fixed that.
Whoa. Oh, yes, yes. This is Nathan's big thing. He's always talking about curing, like, different...
Curing things. Yeah, exactly. Fixing things.
So what's your read on Nathan right now?
Oh, he sucks. He's one of those guys that's just like...
He's like a bad, shitty boyfriend.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. I mean, he's a great characterization of someone that I feel like...
We've
run into at least one person like this, where it's like, oh, I'm really cool, but once you set me off, like, it's over, and I just become a complete raging asshole. But I make up for it by the fact that I'm extremely personable and charismatic, so I can be an asshole,
right,
and be just completely a shitty person.
Sure, sure.
When I'm enraged.
So do you think, like, he just, like, flies out the handle, basically, and turns into an asshole, but he doesn't necessarily, like, He knows what he's doing, basically.
I think the thing is, he's insecure and he lacks control.
Got it. Okay.
And that's my read on him. And the way he does it is by flying off the handle. But before then, he's just like super nice and having a good time and everyone's going along. But as soon as he doesn't get his way or he doesn't trust someone, he then becomes a piece of shit.
Good to know.
So he says, she's talking about English. Now she's having trouble with it. She says there's too many words in the English language. Mm. She says her dad was a linguist. And learned a lot of different languages, and she taught her a little bit about English, but he like apparently learned like 5 or 6 different languages. And and then she's like, they get on the piano, they start playing piano. She's like, oh, my mom used to play piano, and I used to play piano, but I no longer do. Mm. And then Nathan goes and sits behind her while she's sitting on her lap and starts playing piano. And then they are like, hey, we're having a good time. Join in, Stingo. And then he like plays the last part of the song or whatever. And she's like, I remember the piano, like listening to the typewriter and the piano. My mom would be on the piano. My dad would be on the typewriter. It was such a great memory of me when I was a child. Mm-hmm. And then they go to Coney Island. They have a grand old time. You see the weird mirror where they look at their faces, all distorted. They go in the weird tunnel that spins. They go down
the slide.
This is the
movie I was hoping for.
I know, right? Yeah. They see the spinny thing. You know the thing that they still have at fairs where they spin you around so fast you stick to the walls? Yeah. They do that. Stingo does not go on that. He's got a weak stomach.
He's not a spinno.
But while he's seeing them up there spinning, he narrates, suddenly, I shivered violently. I remembered what Nathan said last night. Sophie, we are dying. I wanted to leave, but didn't. And then we became the best of friends. Ooh. And then it's kind of like a montage. And you see, like, Nathan kissing Sophie all sexy, like. Mm-hmm. And then you see Sophie in an ESL class, and she does not look sexy. She looks like she's fucking dying.
Really?
Yeah, so she doesn't look too good. And the professor's like, oh, got to get a book out for Emily Dickinson. And everyone picks up and leaves.
Right.
But he comes over to her and is like, are you okay? You're looking a little delicate lately. Are you okay? She's like, oh, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. I'm fine. I'm going to go to the library and get Emily Dickinson. So she goes to the library and she starts asking for, where would a listing be for the 19th century Emily Dickinson? Mm-hmm. And this guy's like, I'm Dickinson. You won't find Charles Dickinson because he's an English poet, not an American poet. She's like, no, it's not a guy. It's Emily Dickinson. But she, for some reason, can't understand her. And I'm like, I feel like she's saying Emily fine.
Yeah. Also, feel like Emily Dickinson is like a pretty well-known writer.
And also, it's like, Emily's pretty far away from Charles.
Charles
like,
Dickens.
It starts with a completely different letter.
Yeah.
And sound. So like, I don't know. Even if you're like messing it up a bit.
Maybe he's being an asshole because she's got an accent, right?
Maybe. That could be true.
Yeah.
But she starts getting upset, and he's just kind of a complete dick about it. And then she faints because she's just so tired and, like, weak.
Yeah,
and
she,
like throws up a little bit. She does a great job looking like she's dying. Meryl Streep. Can't speak English. Also dying. Great job.
Yes. I believe she was dying.
She can speak English. Let me get to it. She's fine. Her English is fine.
She's doing great. She said Emily Dickinson.
Mm-hmm. She said Emily Dickinson.
Yeah.
And, so she, like, looks at Nathan, like, I think I'm going to die. And Nathan's like, you're not going to die. I'll get you everything you need. So takes her home and then becomes, like, the nicest guy ever. He's like, I'm going to get you a real doctor. I'm going to go to my, because she's like, you're not a real doctor. Yeah, well, he's got his brother who's an actual doctor. Yes. He's just a biologist.
Right.
Then she notices her tattoos and, like,
notices her tattoos, Nathan?
Nathan notices the tattoos on her.
Okay. Hasn't noticed it before.
That's kind of weird. I feel like he might have, but it's like he looks at him again.
Mm.
And then notices she has like cuts on her wrists. I thought they were like experimental injection sites, but it's later revealed it's attempted suicide.
Sure.
But he's like, have you been eating enough food? Are you eating healthy? She's like, oh, I'm eating now way better than I ever have. And he's like, well, maybe fall behind on your iron. I'm going to make a big dinner. Later, she falls asleep. He makes a big dinner. with like leeks because they have a lot of iron and they apparently will deepen her voice like Nero, he says.
Okay.
Charismatic guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings up like, oh, I know you were in a camp, like, and she's like, yeah, I can't talk about that.
Yeah, understandably.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's okay. I understand. I just want to know you and be close to you, Nathan says. And it's a sweet moment where he like, she pulls out a book. And she's like, can you read this to me? He's like, oh, yeah, this is one of my books. It's Emily Dickinson.
Oh.
Happened to me. And she's like, oh, Emily Dickinson, that's so funny. Can you read something to me? And she does. And it's very sweet mm-hmm. and tender. And you're like, who could be that abusive man in the beginning we saw?
Yeah.
Who
what happened
that guy? Why that guy?
Yeah.
He must be gone.
Mm-hmm.
He must have had to turn of a new leaf.
Must have been a misunderstanding.
Exactly. So, okay. So far, you'd say pretty standard plot, right? You're like following along. You're like, yeah, sure. Yeah, she's going through stuff. You're following Sophie.
Yeah.
Now we cut to Stingo. And Stingo's on a beach. And we're introduced to this line where he says,
Nathan, my new and dear beloved friend, introduced me to what seemed the answer to my relentless, all-consuming horniness.
And I was like, I had to be like, is this really what they said? I rewound it. And it was. And I was like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Why was it established that this motherfucker was so horny?
That's what the movie's about, is how horny Stingo is.
But it was never established until this moment.
Yeah.
Anyway, he found out that there's someone named Leslie Lepites, mm-hmm. who comes out and is just like on the beach, is like, ah, William Reich has turned me into a nymphomaniac. And I'm like, what are we doing here?
So what the fuck is this shit?
So he goes and meets her at her place.
Yeah.
And she's like, ooh, will you have a drink with me? He's like, oh, yeah, I don't know what to have. And then they immediately go to the next room. They start rolling around, making out in the living room.
Oh, yeah.
And she gets a phone call. And he's like, leave it. Let it ring. And she's like, no, I have to answer it. And this fucking, I've never seen this before in my life. There's a decoration over the telephone. Like a big like doll.
That you have to avoid?
No, you take the decoration off.
No, that's what I'm saying. You have to avoid the decoration to get to the telephone.
Well, you have to move it.
Yeah, to get to the telephone.
I don't know, avoid makes it sound like you don't touch it at all.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, you don't avoid it. And, like,
it's like one of those like white people beds.
Absolutely.
Where, like they put like pillows on the bed that you have to remove.
You can't use, those are not using pillows.
Those are not sleeping pillows. Those are pillows to put on the bed.
The aesthetic pillows.
Yes.
Yeah, so this is the same thing with the telephone.
That's fucking insane.
I've never seen this before in my life. She takes it off and then answers the phone.
No.
And then calls. It's like, oh yes, mommy, I'll be good. Yes, daddy, I won't do anything weird. Yep, I love you, bye. And he hangs up. And then she's like, I don't care. They get freaky on the couch. But then he tries to grab, kind of goes to her crotch area. And then she freaks out. She's like, no. Can't do that. I can't do it.
Oh.
And he says, in the next quote, he just says, Leslie Lepites couldn't. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. She was all about saying fuck.
Sure.
And like swearing and being really cool. But then at the end, he says,
Leslie Lepites could say fuck, but she could not do it.
Leslie Lepites did not want my penis.
And we're ending the podcast there. And that's Sophie's Choice.
There's Sophie's
ending with
choice
a character you don't give a shit about.
This is Sophie's Choice by two guys.
Does Leslie ever come into...
No, I never see Leslie in my half of the movie at
I don't
all.
Know why this scene is here.
I don't either. I think it's only to reveal to you that Stingo
is horny
to get laid.
Why is this like a 10-minute long sequence? It's so long.
I don't know. I truly don't. Especially knowing how this movie continues.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
It's like, what are we watching? So he arrives home, cock blocked. And
by Leslie Lepites.
Thinking he was just like, oh, I got a nymphomaniac right here. And she's like, no, I can't. Mm. And then she goes.
I like how he's disappointed. It's just like, this is your first date with this lady. Like,
but she was, but she was all talking about fucking. Like, that's all she was talking about.
Yeah, well, this is your first date.
I mean, I get it, but it's like your expectations. It's like going to a hookup app and then being like, I want to fuck you. And then it's like, actually, I'm good.
I guess. I'm like, maybe wait for the second or third.
I mean, he wasn't mean about it or anything.
No, I know, but like, we never see her again, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. True. Well, he's got other eyes for other people because.
Yeah, he's all into Sophie.
He comes back and Sophie's there. She thought it was Nathan coming home. She's like, oh, would you like to come up for a night hat? He's like, oh, cute, because it's nightcap.
Nightcap. That's cute.
And he goes up there. She says, like, oh, I see you're wearing your cocksucker. And he says, oh, it's a seersucker, which to me even sounded even crazier.
I don't know what a seersucker is.
I don't know what the fuck
is.
A seersucker is.
I'm
but it seemed like it was a type of jacket.
Oh, okay. Got it.
So Stingo says, like, oh, man, I love New York. It's so good here. And he notices that, like, she moved around the furniture. She's staying up late because Nathan's supposed to be at the lab and coming home soon, but he hasn't come around or called or anything. So she's just kind of waiting up for him.
Right.
And so it's like, hey, let's just hang out and pass some time. I notice she moves the furniture around. He's like, yeah, it's a good thing to do because you don't have to think about anything. You don't have to, like, worry or anything.
Right.
And he admits, like, man, sometimes I see myself alone forever.
Oh.
She's Stingo? Like, yeah, Stingo. And she's like, no, you're a talented American. You're good, you know. You have no real problems, but maybe I'm wrong. Mm. And then she starts talking about herself, and she's like, what's wrong is when you outlive the people you love. And then she starts admitting she has survivor guilt from her mom, her husband, her father. And Stingo's like, whoa, you were married? And she's like, yeah, well, the Nazis came to the university and they locked up they just took everyone. That my husband worked with my dad and then I went to the university and it was locked, and I looked over and the truck was full of people and I saw my dad and my husband in there and I never saw him again. And then she's like, my mom got tuberculosis and that was bad.
Yeah.
And she was really sick, she brought she went to thought she would be like, oh well, she needs meat. Meat will help her. So she goes to the black market and buys meat because apparently meat is only for the Germans. And I'm like, damn, I didn't realize that part. but she like hid the meat under her like shirt, like she was pretending she was pregnant.
Right.
And she says, no. And then they found the meat and then they sent me to Auschwitz. And I'm like, oh my God. And then she says, not for like stealing the meat, but because I was scared, she says.
Mm.
So, and then she said, she admits she tried to commit suicide. Because, you know, it's the scars. She said it wasn't inside the concentration camp. It was after she was liberated, she tried to kill herself.
Right.
In the church itself, because she was like, why could a God do this to me and, like, take everyone away from me and leave me alive?
Right.
And she's like, that's all I can tell you. And this, by the way, this moment, this whole time she's going through all this, Stingo's like caressing her and like touching
Stingo's
her face.
Stingo's just trying to get close.
Yeah, exactly. And he says, I want you to trust me, he says. And she's getting so close to him, and you're like, oh, are they going to do something? But then she hears something downstairs. She's like, oh, Nathan's here. It's just some other random lady who comes back. She's like, I was a nurse, and this patient I have, she's meaner than my mom. Can you believe that, Sophie? Bye. She just leaves. It's like, oh, it's not Nathan. Well, you want to get another drink, Stingo?
She drinks a lot.
Sophie?
Yeah.
Mm. I didn't really realize that, but yeah, you're right.
She has like a bottle that she carries around.
Oh.
Maybe did you not notice in the end of half the movie at all?
You know, Stingo hadn't revealed his full form yet.
No, she does.
No, I know, but not Stingo. Nathan hasn't revealed his full form yet.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, she's drinking a lot alone with a bottle.
So
she's got a lot of shit, man.
She got a lot of shit going on. So she gives him another drink she says, hey, let's get another drink. The bottle's empty. She's like, oh, I know where Nathan keeps his stuff. So they go into Nathan's library.
Mm.
And Nathan has the obsession of like a 60-year-old dad with World War II, but it's all Nazis. He's just
shit.
I fucking hate these fuckers.
I hate all these
fuckers and how they're all getting away. He says, oh yeah, that's just like what he does. And Stingo's like, why don't you call him at the lab and like see if he's working? She's like, no, I already called already. He didn't call. I'm worried he's not going to come back. I'm going to call the police. In the past, he's come home with like a black eye after the biology that you're studying, and I'm like,
how do you get a black eye from a
exactly,
biology lab?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But I understand if you don't fully understand, like maybe he was doing something else. I don't know.
Right.
So
I want to cure cancer. And he's like, I don't want to cure cancer.
Punch. I want to make cancer worse. So we're doing it, Pfizer. We're going to give the kids autism with our vaccines. We're not going to test them.
Yeah.
I'm going to test them though. Bah. Anyway, so says, you don't understand, Stingo. You don't know what it's like seeing all these Nazis and like living their lives. And she's like, he's just obsessed with it. And you wouldn't understand what it's like.
Yeah.
When it's like, I just want to live. You know, I just want to live my life.
Yeah.
And then while they're kind of like having this heart to heart, fucking Nathan just appears in the middle. And he's upset because he's like, Stingo, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
What are you doing here, Stingo? Are you doing something? And she's like, oh, no. Sophie explains everything. She's like, you know, I invited him for a nightcap. You know, we were just talking. I was waiting for you. You took forever.
Yeah.
And Nathan's got this feeling like he still feels threatened. He's like,
Right.
I don't know about this. And he's like, you've seen my Sanctum Sanctorum. I'm like, oh, shit. Where's his cape? You know all my dark secrets. Mm-hmm. You know how much I hate Nazis and how much I hate the world. Let them escape.
I'm so embarrassed about how much I hate Nazis.
Yeah, I know. Like, he says, you want to join me in a little lynching party, Southern boy? Mm. He's like, he's like, I think you could teach me something sometimes.
Yeah.
And then he's like, no. I'm sorry. Right. That's just weird. I don't know what he's doing out there. I don't know if he's curing cancer or just gambling.
Yeah, we don't know.
You
don't know.
So then next day, Nathan throws Stingo a bottle, says, hey, I'm sorry I got weird last night, but I want to read your work. I want to read what you're working on. He's I'm being very private about this. And he fucking steals his work and runs off.
Jesus.
And then Sophie comes down immediately and is like, I was told by Nathan I have to take you to the movies so he can read your work. And then they come back after the movies, mm-hmm. and you see Nathan in, I'm going to try my best to describe this, but it's like a bay window with like multiple windows. So there's like maybe six windows outside.
Okay.
And he's in front of them conducting, and you see a reflection of him in each window.
Oh.
It's very cool looking.
That's cool.
He's just like, ooh, do-do-do-do, and it's very, you know, eccentric.
Sure.
And then, yeah, he's connected himself, and they're like, oh, and Stingo's, you know, worried. He's like, did you read my stuff? Like, what do you think? And then he's just quietly just grabs his bag and leaves, and they follow him. And they go all the way to the Brooklyn Bridge drinking, and Nathan stands up on the bridge and says, Stingo, I'm going to name off all these artists that I didn't write down, but all these great writers, all these famous people that were inspired by the Brooklyn Bridge and everything it represents. And you, Stingo, you should join this pantheon because... hey, you write is amazing.
Wow, he's so nice.
Mm-hmm. And then at this moment, the narrator, Stingo, says, I have a huge crush on Nathan.
What?
He's amazingly charismatic. He's so attractive.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
I know.
By Stingo.
By Stingo. The new sexuality unlocked. Fucking, we're inventing new ones 2025.
I'm Stingo sexual.
Well, I'm Stingo sexual. Give me some farts, brother. Get me ready to go. Wah, wah, wee, wah. All right. Next day, Stingo and Sylvia are at the park just hanging out. And Nathan comes down. He's like, I have amazing news. He's so excited. He has these big boxes with him. He's like, oh, scientific breakthrough. Scientific breakthrough I've been talking about. I can't wait to tell you about it later today. Mm-hmm. Not right now. Later today.
Right, right.
I'm going to win a Nobel Prize before you, Stingo. Ha, ha, ha. Everyone gets presents. Gives her, like, a nice outfit. I don't remember giving Stingo because who gives a fuck about him? And then she puts on the clothes, and they all get ready for the nights later on in the evening. And Sophie got Nathan a watch with an engraving on it. She mentions that she had her boss
what
take
them
over.
For work?
That's the thing. First time I ever mentioned she did work. First time. She's a chiropractor.
Whoa, okay.
Which is really random.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does, I guess, works with a chiropractor. And she says, my boss took me over to this jewelry place, got it engraved. Mm. I'm so excited to surprise him when he comes back. Do you think she'll like it, Stingo? He's like, yeah, I have one like that. He's like, yeah, I was inspired by you. I thought it was really cool. I thought I'd give it to Nathan. And then he arrives. They go, surprise! And they pop a champagne. But he looks dejected, which I was like, just kind of like, upset? No,
why?
Super happy. I don't fucking
Stingo?
Know.
Stingo?
No. This is Nathan. Nathan came back and was dejected. Stingo and Sophie are super happy.
They're having a great time.
They're having a great time.
Yeah.
And he's like really sweaty. And she's like, oh, this is great.
Oh, because he has to start actually talking about the amazing discovery he made, I
exactly,
guess.
Exactly, yeah. I guess. And Nathan's like, well, you know what I would have liked even more than a surprise celebration? Fidelity.
Oh.
And he goes up to Sophie and is like, why were you with cats? I told you if you're ever with cats again, I would fucking beat you.
Jesus Christ.
You spent an afternoon with fucking him, didn't you? And Stingo's there like, Nathan, you should like ask her where she was, why she was with Cat.
Yeah.
I guess it was her boss.
Her boss's
assistant. And he says, and then immediately Sophie's like, don't fucking interrupt, Stingo. You're going to get fucking your ass kicked.
Yeah.
And he says, you're going to feel really silly when you know. And she's like, yeah. So she starts opening the present she got him. And she shows him the watch. And he just is like, oh, that is nice. Thank you. It's nice. And just kind of has this. So the actor's doing a really great job of being like threatening, but also like very calm.
Yeah.
And you know people like that, right?
Oh,
who are just like, I'm ready to explode at any moment.
You're ready for them to, like...
I'm waiting for my theatrical entrance. Like, they have a theater thing that they have to do first.
Yeah. They're ready to, what is it? Fly off the handle.
Exactly.
Yeah,
fly off the handle in a dramatic way.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm just like, oh, what's he going to do? And he just says, oh, no, this is great. I love this watch. It's beautiful. And you put the, he's got your initials on there. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Stingo. I'm so sorry. Let's make a toast. Let's make a toast here. He gets a toast. And I want to toast to my complete disassociation from you two creeps. And then he drops the watch. See? Dramatic. He's so extra. He drops the watch into the champagne glass.
Oh, shit.
Which I thought he was going to throw against the wall, but he's a more melodramatic thing.
Yeah.
Takes a drink and then says, Stingo, you know, your work, I read it. I think it's fucking something. You know, I think you could make it as the next great Southern comic book, actually.
Oh, shit.
The new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts going over to Sophie. He's like, you know, are you still thinking about that you hate the Jews just as much as, like, the Nazis did? Are you still thinking that? And she's like, what? And he's like, explain why you're still here. Explain why you survived Auschwitz, why everyone else died. So it's like leaning into probably something she confided in him.
Yeah.
About, like, I feel really bad survivor's guilt. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to use that against you now. I'm going to talk about how why you're still here. Are you going to explain it?
Yeah.
He says, why do you inhabit the land of the living? How do you live the tale that you weave? Explain! And they get in a huge fight. They eventually fight each other, but then they throw Stingo out because it's a domestic dispute. And it's gone too far.
And he's just like, I'm fucking.
He was like, he was trying to get involved, but then he was like, all right, I guess I'll leave.
Yeah.
So then the next day, the landlady's there and talking to Stingo's like, they just disappeared in the night. I don't know what happened. They just disappeared.
How exhausting must this fucking relationship
be? I know, right?
Oh, my Lord. It
sounds awful.
Yeah.
And then Stingo's like, all right, well, look for her, I guess. It calls, like, her work, and she's like, the work's like, oh, no, I don't know where she is, but, like, maybe she's with a friend. He's like, I don't know if she had any friend. And they're like, oh, yeah, your friend is, like, Sonja Wojcicka.
Oh, that's not her name.
No, that's her friend. That's like a friend.
Oh,
name.
Okay.
A friend's name has named this. So she's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. Well, where can I find her? She's like, oh, she worked at a university. Mm-hmm. So he goes to the university, and she talks to the professor. And the professor there is like, oh, yeah, I know her. She went back to Poland like 6 months ago. She's no longer here. And she's like, oh, well, I'm trying to look for her friend, Sophie. Do you remember Sophie? And he's like, yeah. I remember her from back in the day when I worked at university.
Yeah, I remember Sophie.
Like, oh, why do you remember her? He's like, I remember her dad because he hated Jews as much as the Nazis did. And he's like, and this is the moment where I was like, what are we doing here? Has this movie decided to start cooking?
Oh, it starts cooking.
I'm like, what are we what's going on?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like cooking is probably the worst analogy to make when we're talking about gas chambers. But yeah, no, if movie starts...
Didn't make that association. The movie starts what then? What would you use as opposed to...
The movie is up and going.
Up and going?
It's okay. Up and going, yeah. Okay, something is going, yeah.
So he's like, are you sure? It does not sound like the person I know. You're probably the wrong person. He's like, No, what happened was once they came... Because she's like, yeah, he died in the concentration camp. She's like, no.
No.
Well, maybe he did. But once he came, like, they made a sweep of all academics, all the Nazis did. They didn't check to stop their political ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I got the fucking receipts. And he pulls up, like, a book. He pulls up a book that's like, oh, yes. Oh, here he is. Bigansky, professor of law in the University of Krakow, known for his anti-Semitism. I'm like, what the fuck? You write that in a book? Like, someone does a book about, like, a director of, like, what's this guy's main deal? He's a fucking...
What book is this?
Yeah, what book is this?
He fucking hates Jews. We got that, write that down. This book.
That is the ultimate receipt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone printed a book. Peer-reviewed book.
Yeah. He says, yeah, he made big notes. I wrote a whole paper about it's illegal for some Jewish students to sit. He thinks it should be illegal for Jewish students to sit in the same bench as Poles.
Yes, exactly.
And I was just like, what? And then I turned the movie off.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about it. I'm like, was Sophie lying? Was she telling the truth about her dad? Or maybe she was kept from it.
Mm.
Maybe she just didn't know.
Well, would you like to know?
I would love to know.
Well, okay. So, I also hear this information about Sophie's father.
I watched a little ahead because I was just like,
I mean,
this is juicy.
Understandable.
Juicy.
This is probably incredibly the juiciest,
juiciest part of the movie so far.
So, narration comes in. So, this is the first I'm learning that apparently this is taking place somewhat in the past. looking back on the events of Stingo.
Yeah.
So Stingo in the future says that he's going to move back to the South at the insistence of his father. And he can no longer stay in Brooklyn. So something he's learned about what he's just learned has disgusted him so much that he can no longer stay where he's currently at.
Wow.
And then...
But she doesn't even live there anymore.
Huh?
But she doesn't even live there anymore.
What do you mean doesn't live there anymore?
Like Sophie and the
Nathan
moved out.
They did move out, but he's just like, I can't take this. Like,
New York sucks now because I have one bad experience.
So he hears Sophie downstairs. Mm-hmm. And Sophie's like looking for him. And Stingo like closes the door, hoping that Sophie doesn't come investigate where Stingo is. But of course, Sophie does come. And Sophie immediately apologizes. He's just like, she's like, I'm so sorry for what Nathan said, what he said about your book. Stingo's very upset at Sophie. And I'm like, don't know why.
Your dad was a Nazi friend, even though he wasn't a Nazi, which is weird. It's weird to be like, I'm anti-Semitic, but you know what? I don't really care about the Nazis, which is like a wild thing to even think about.
He did care about the Nazis.
Oh.
He was a full-on Nazi.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. But before all that, Sophie's like, I want to remain friends. I want us to be friends. And, you know, Stingo's lying. He's like, it's got nothing to do with you. And he tells Sophie, he's like, I learned about your friend. I learned about your father. I learned about everything. I know everything.
I know all your secrets, Sophie.
Basically. And this scene, what a scene to walk in on. I was like, holy shit. Meryl Streep is killing it because it's so clear. She's like embarrassed. She's upset. She's like trying to hide how upset she is. Incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible performance.
Mm-hmm.
And so she says she lied because she was afraid that she would be left alone.
Oh.
And she says goodbye to him.
Can't imagine why.
But he's like, I just want to understand. He's like, I want to know more about you. You know, like I want to know the truth. And she says, the truth does not make it easier to understand, she says. And she says, no one. And he says, like, don't worry. Like, I want to know more about you. I promise I'll never leave you. And she says, no one should ever promise that they will leave someone. That is not a promise you can make. Because it's like.
You never know what the thing is.
You never. Well, also, you never know what happens, right? Like, maybe someone dies. Mm-hmm. Someone is taken from you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she's at a window. It's the middle of the night. She looks out the window and she hears children playing, and then suddenly like a recorder starts playing in the soundtrack, and we get a close-up shot of Meryl Streep. And Sophie says, she's like, I'm gonna tell you everything. So
okay.
She says that she loved her father when she was growing up, but her father was a man who cared about purity. Yeah. And once she became a full-grown woman with a husband, she learned about who her father truly was. Mm. And what she would do for a living was she would take his lectures and she would type them out. She would write them out, basically.
Okay. That'd be a good way to learn what your father thinks.
Yeah. And so during one of the lectures, she started hearing a word that she had never heard before. And basically what it was exterminating the Jews.
Okay.
So she learned about the extermination of the Jews from her father, straight from her father's mouth.
Wow.
And she was like, that's bad.
Wow. She's like, let me think about this one for a second.
It's kind of a bad thing.
I don't really see why we would do that.
And so she purposefully miswrote his speeches. So then when he would dictate them, he actually would speak them at, you know, classes or whatever, he would read them and then misspeak them and make mistakes, basically.
Oh, I thought he'd be like, we're going to take out exterminate the Jews and be like, kiss Jews or something like that. Like, what?
She's very, like, unclear about what she's basically saying.
Okay.
But it sounds like she's, like, trying to make him look foolish.
Sure.
And it made him very upset, and it made her husband very upset. And neither of them trusted her.
Oh, no. Is her husband also a Nazi?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And so then...
Oh, shit. She is blonde. Ah!
Yeah. So then she had a lover in Warsaw, who knew people in the resistance, and she learns about Polish children who were exterminated for being racially unsuitable. And there's like photos of these children.
Yikes.
And by the way, all this is in flashback. So we see all of this, like,
oh wow.
Yeah. This is not just her. It's her.
See, that's what
at
I
first.
Pictured. That's yeah. what I pictured in this movie.
Yeah. So now we flash back to like World War II.
Uh-huh.
You know, her learning about all this. We see like dead Polish children in this photo, and she's just like, Jesus fucking Christ, that's really awful. And her lover, who is friends with people in the resistance, they're all sort of just like, we have these stolen documents from the Gestapo. We know that you know how to read German. Can you, like, translate them for us? And she's just like, I can't. Like, I have these children I have to take care of. Like, what happens if it's discovered, like, what I do?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, girl, like, you have kids. They could wind up exactly how these kids are winding up in this photograph, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, no matter what you do.
Sophia's kids.
Oh. Sophia's a daughter and a son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. She has two children.
Okay.
Okay. So, 2 weeks later, after she translates the documents, her lover is murdered. And okay. Sophie, it's discovered that she was the one that translated the documents. So her and her children are taken to Auschwitz. And this entire...
So that's why she was taken.
And so this entire time during this narration, we hear this like recorder music, like this really somber, sad music mm-hmm. playing on a recorder. And she's in like the train with her daughter and her son. And her daughter's playing a recorder.
Okay.
And then she says, once we were taken there, once we arrived, they decided which children would live and which children would die. And my son was put into a camp full of children, and my daughter was exterminated.
Oh, God.
And the daughter's the one that's playing the flute, and then the flute music stops.
Oof.
Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah.
And then we hard cut, and Sophie is in Auschwitz, and she's in the full, like, get up, and uh-huh. she's, like, you know, she's shaved, and she's starving. And she says that because of what her father taught her, she's able to, she's like a really good secretary. And so she is made the secretary of the commandant of Auschwitz, which, having now seen.
fuck, why did I think of it? Zone of Interest.
Zone of Interest.
Ooh.
It is crazy, by the way. Like. Having seen Zone of Interest, it's like literally that. Like, yeah. It's literally the same house, the same, you
wow,
know,
really?
Garden. Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's a historical
place.
It's
historical, right?
Yeah.
And so it's weird. Like, yeah, she's brought from the camp into that home.
That's crazy.
And she's working under the commandant there as the secretary because she can speak, you know, and translate German. She can speak good German. She's a good secretary. But she doesn't know where her kids are. But she knows her daughter's dead, but she doesn't know what happened to her son, basically.
Right.
And, yeah. And, again, all this is in flashback. So we see, like, Meryl Streep in the whole outfit.
That's crazy.
Starved. Yeah.
I would have never guessed that.
And,
this
like,
in this movie.
Where the fuck? Like, this movie started out with, like, a goofy-ass,
what,
like...
What the fucking... My cure for my horniness. Like,
I
what
know.
Are you doing?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, dude, you are not the protagonist of this movie, my man.
What is happening?
I know. And so she... You know, she
it needs to be framed by a man so men understand, I guess.
I guess so. And so she, you know, she winds up, you know, working there. She's because of her secretarial skills, she's disinfected. She begs that her shoes not be taken because they were her father's shoes, and this is the one thing that she has mm-hmm. That means something to her. But later on we realize the reason that she doesn't want her shoes taken is because inside of the shoes is evidence that she dictated her father's speeches, which means that she was not someone who she's someone who is basically like for the extermination of the Jews.
Mm.
Even though she isn't, she's no. This is why her like survivor's guilt is coming into place because she's evidence. She's like, I'm innocent. Like I shouldn't be here, basically.
Yeah.
You know? What happens next? So while she's getting like disinfected in the basement of the commandant's house, a man who's also working there shows up and is like, hey Sophie, we want you to join the resistance, we want you to cozy up to the commandant, and we want you to steal a radio from the house because then we can use it to maybe, you know, speak to someone outside and maybe yeah. help us escape. So the commandant and Himmler have dinner and they talk about performing God's work. And this, I'm just like,
what the fuck is this movie suddenly?
It just turns into like a full on Holocaust, like flashback.
This is what I expect the movie to be.
And that's what it is.
Okay. For the second half.
And Sophie's in, I was watching this movie. My wife walks in watching me watching this movie. And I'm just like, I feel like Ethan got the better half of this film.
I don't know. Instead, you just see regular ass domestic violence, which is something that still goes on today.
Yeah, I guess that's not good either.
Yeah.
So she's hearing them talking about how, you know, they get to choose who lives or dies and how they cannot afford to be kind because of how things were after World War One.
Yikes.
And they're saying all this as Sophie, like, is starving in a basement. And then they also mentioned that there's an epidemic spreading in the children's camp, that the children are all dropping like flies. And that's where her son is. And so she's like, I got to get my fucking son out of that camp. So we cut later. Sophie is transcribing transcribing a speech from the commandant in private. And then he gets a headache and she has to tend to it. And then he starts, like, hitting on her. He starts, like, grabbing onto her. Mm. And she's like, sir, like, I shouldn't be here. I'm innocent. And she provides the evidence, like, this is evidence that I dictated stuff from my father.
I love the Nazis.
Yeah, it's like, I love the Nazis. I
even though
Jews.
Her father was clearly taken away and didn't matter.
No, her father was not taken away. Her father was absolutely celebrated.
Oh!
Mm-hmm.
When'd you find this out? Just now.
Just now.
Wow.
But he's just like, and so he's like, she's like, look, like, I have evidence. I don't belong here. And he's just like, yeah, but you're a Polish person and you're an enemy of the Reich. So, like, it's not important to me. Like, there's no way that I'm ever going to help you.
I'm not going to fucking help you. Fuck you.
And then he accuses her of, like, flirting
Man,
with him.
Nazis bad people? This is crazy.
Nazis are kind of bad guys.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of bad to, like, you know, round people up and put them in a camp.
That's
you know?
Crazy.
It's really bad. He accuses her of flirting with him and compliments her on her German features. And then he starts to forcibly kiss her.
But he just said she's just a Polish person. Whatever.
It's fucking fucked. And then they're interrupted by a guard that comes up. And after this interruption, it gives her the opportunity to go, like, here, like, look, my son knows German. My son is German, like, looks German like me. He's in the boys' camp. You can send me back to camp. Mm-hmm. I know that you're getting reassigned, just like how in, like, Zone of Interest, he ends up getting reassigned. She's just like, you can send me back to camp. You can leave. All I ask is that you take my son out of the children's camp that has an epidemic and have him be part of this Lebensborn, which is a program.
It's a good camp.
Which is a program where you take people who know German or look German or look Aryan and basically teach them how to be a good German.
Holy fuck.
And it gives her at least an option for her son to be alive, basically. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, all right, how tomorrow, you know, before I leave, I'm going to bring your kid out and I'll free him. I'll put him in this program for you.
Mm.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, right?
Nice guy.
All right. And
redeems himself, totally.
And so then after all this, Sophie's leaving all this shit. She's like so happy. And she sees the radio that she promised to steal, remember?
Oh, no, she's not going
to
do it.
So she's like, the radio. And she goes to go get it. And she goes into, it's his daughter's radio. And she goes into the daughter's bedroom. And then all of a sudden, the lights turn on. The daughter's there. And I gasped.
Really?
Yeah, I gasped. I was all alone watching this. I gasped. And then the daughter's like, you're trying to steal my radio. I'm gonna tell on you. I'm going to tell my dad on you. Because you're trying
I'll
to steal.
Kill the kid.
I mean, she's like, no, I was just trying to look at the radio. And she's like, no, you're not trying to look at the radio. You're probably just trying to steal it. You're Polish. You're going to listen to the radio in the basement. You know, you're just a dirty Pole. You're worse than, like, everyone else.
I'll kill that kid.
And then Sophie just faints. And then the daughter goes down and revives Sophie and closes the door. And after all of that, she's like, hey, do you want to listen to my records?
What the fuck?
Like, acting as if she's, like, a pet. Or like a toy, or like a you know, and then the dad like knocks on the door, and I'm like, oh shit, like I know Sophie lives, right?
Yeah, obviously.
But it's like, what the fuck's gonna happen? And then the girl's like, oh, I'm getting undressed in here, like you know, like don't come in, Dad. So she ends up actually like coming to Sophie's defense.
She just wants someone to hang out with before she called her a horrible person. What the fuck?
Yeah, I know exactly. So Sophie's like,
kids are weird, man.
Kids are weird. Yeah. So Sophie ends up going like, I fucked up.
This would have been different if she had Fortnite. That's all I'm saying. Tim Sweeney would have come in and been like, hey, kid, just play some Fortnite. Don't narc on the Jews.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be fine. I feel like there's probably a lot of really bad stuff on Fortnite, though, right?
I don't know. No, it's no Roblox. Roblox is a bad one. Roblox probably is a bad one.
That's true.
That's child labor. So
that's true. So Sophie's like, I fucked up. I didn't get the radio. But she's like, she was so proud of herself. She's like, I saved my son. I saved my son.
She at least
did
one good.
There was one thing that she did. And then she says, but he didn't keep his word. And she never knew what happened to her son. Never knew what happened to him.
Asshole.
And she's just sent right back to the camps.
Man, these Nazi guys are kind of bad.
These bads are kind of bad.
I feel like they're kind of
you kind of can't
good.
Like, yeah. like them.
I feel like Indiana Jones was right punching them. He might have been a good guy.
And so she's like, she admits, she's like, this is why I wanted to die. Like, until Nathan showed up, I wanted to die. And Nathan's the only person that's given me.
I mean, I didn't know she had kids at that point. So, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah, she's like,
fuck it. My entire life, every little bit, every facet of my life.
It's been taken away from me. And Stingo embraces Sophie. And he's like,
I think it's just so interesting that she openly opens up to Stingo.
Not to. Well, I mean, maybe she did to Nathan. But Nathan ended up using it against her.
Nathan kept asking, like, concentration camp, I'll talk about that. And she's like, no.
Yeah, she does it to Stingo.
Yeah.
And Stingo embraces
her. Why would
you
talk to that fucking guy from Porky's? Like, why would you do that? He's a little dweeb.
He's a little dweeb. He's a writer. He's going to write it down.
I don't think we in this podcast have really established how much of a fucking dweeb this guy is. Like, he looks like a dweeb. He acts like a dweeb.
Yeah.
He is the definition of dweeb. You look up dweeb in the dictionary.
Imagine dweeb. That's what he looks like.
He's not a dork. He's not a nerd.
He's a dweeb.
He's a dweeb.
Yeah.
He's very specific. It very much fits the fucking name.
Every single scene he's in, he's
dweeb.
Dweebish.
He's dweebing.
He's a little dweeb.
Dweebing out.
And so he like embraces her and he's like, live, Sophie, live. And they end up falling asleep in each other's arms. And the next morning, Nathan is outside and Sophie sees Nathan outside and she goes and she kisses him.
Sure.
And Nathan ends up moving back into the house.
Whatever.
And the three
isn't Stingo moved out of the house?
Stingo's still in the house. So, and the three of them are living in the house together.
Nothing changed.
And then we see a scene of the three of them in a hammock together. And I'm like, man, these guys are pretty comfy.
I was going to say, this reminds me a lot of Cabaret, how it's a lot of like,
yeah.
All about one woman,
two guys
being like really
two
close.
Gentlemen. And I'm the only
woman here.
And then, so, okay. So up until this point, I'm like, okay, I think I have a idea of the shape of this film. Like, Sophie is a sad person. She found this guy, Nathan. I don't know anything about Nathan. I'm like, Nathan seems like a pretty good guy.
Yeah, man.
You know, like gave her some kind of out. And Stingo's there and he's just kind of a creep too. And he's just there.
He's
you know, that's
dweeb.
Fine. He's a little dweeb, but he's fine. You know, someone to talk to.
Oh, boy.
And then Nathan's brother calls Stingo.
Okay. I've never seen his brother. He mentioned him in my half.
His name is Larry.
Larry.
And Larry's like,
Nathan,
hey,
Larry.
Stingo, why don't you, let's have a chat, me and you, you know, man to man.
Okay.
What do you think he's going to tell him?
He's going to say that fucking Sophie's dying, and Nathan has not told anyone about it. Okay. Nathan's also a Nazi.
No.
Damn. All right. I'm out of ideas.
Here you go. You have no fucking idea where this movie's
I'm
about
so
to go,
excited.
Man. So, we're chatting over some beer. And Larry's like, hey, Stingo, I know you're good friends with Nathan and Sophie.
Yeah.
And I just want to tell you something. There's something that Sophie doesn't know. And I'm going to tell you what's up. What's what?
Give me that tea. Give me that tea, Larry.
Nathan is not a biologist.
Okay.
Nathan is insane. Nathan.
You know, the signs are all there. When you think
right.
about it, they really set it up. Yeah, he's insane.
They really did.
Because
like,
I was like...
Because this is why I asked you early on. I'm like, so Nathan's just kind of like a bad guy, but he knows. He knows he's bad, right? No.
I don't know.
Nathan is a paranoid schizophrenic.
Oh.
He works at Pfizer, but he works in the library. He doesn't own it. He doesn't have a degree.
Okay.
He's and Larry's the one that got him that job.
Why
because
he work there so late? He's hanging out in
he
the
doesn't
library.
Work there late. He does go out. And he does go drinking. And he goes fucking. He's a fuck up.
Yeah.
And Larry's like he's like. There's one thing that Nathan needs to not do.
Fucking Stingo. He I feel so bad for Stingo.
I'm like, people are telling Stingo a lot, and Stingo's not even 30 years old. Stingo is in his early 20s.
Stingo's like, I just started drinking.
And he's learned that Sophie's dad was a Nazi.
He's learning that Nathan is a schizophrenic. Oh my God.
And that apparently Nathan has a problem with cocaine.
This is why, yeah, sure. Of course
and,
he does.
And Larry's like, Stingo, you need to call me. You need to check in and let me know. Like,
is his brother actually a doctor, though? His brother?
No.
No.
Oh, Larry is a doctor.
Larry's a doctor.
Larry's
right?
a doctor. Okay. Nathan is not.
Okay.
But, and here's the thing. I don't know anything about Nathan. So I'm like, this seems rude. I'm like, this is kind of a break of interest. I'm
yeah.
like, because I don't know shit about Nathan.
No,
I
get
only
it.
See Nathan as a good guy.
Yeah, no, you did not see the horrible intro
no.
in the second half or
no.
you decided to be an asshole.
I only heard that Nathan said a bad thing about Stingo's books. And honestly, I'm like, he probably had it coming.
Yeah,
he probably is a good writer.
He's fucking 23, whatever.
Yeah. So I'm like, this kind of seems like a breach of like Nathan's like medical history. Like kind of a shitty thing for, you know. For what the fuck is
that's
Larry
a tough thing
to
though because it's like that person probably is lying to other people about what they do, so it's just like, this isn't really like my medical history, but also like I need to tell someone because if you're getting manipulated by them
yeah.
I feel like it's just something important to tell. It's
no
a very
it
tricky,
makes sense
tricky
now,
situation for Larry
now knowing the history.
I feel bad for Larry yeah
at
Larry
first I was
like
Larry's an asshole but now what? I'm like no Larry had Nathan and Sophie and Stingo's best interest
he's
in
just
heart.
Like I'm just trying to make sure you guys don't fucking do weird shit.
Yeah. So he's like, can you just keep tabs on Nathan, make sure that motherfucker doesn't do cocaine, and just report back to me. Let me know how things are going.
It's tough. He always runs off in the middle of the night, so.
Yeah. So Stingo arrives home, and he sees Nathan and Sophie, and they're dressed like Southern gentlemen and a Southern, like, belle.
Oh, is she doing an accent? Because I would love
to. She can't do an accent, but he is doing an accent. Nathan is doing an accent. And Nathan is like, I would really like it, Stingo. If we would take a trip to the South together, and me and
Did
Sophie,
you say the N-word?
No,
damn.
And he's like, me and Sophie and you, I think the three of us should go down to the South, and I think it would be a good idea. I recollect if me and Sophie could get married, and Stingo, I would really like it if you were my best man. And Sophie is fucking shocked by this because Sophie
yeah.
didn't know the shit was coming.
Yeah,
and Nathan produces a ring. And Sophie, of course, accepts.
Of course. I don't know.
I mean.
Stingo's all over the place. That's Stingo.
Nathan.
Nathan
is all over the place. Yeah. And then they have a little, like, picnic in the middle of the night.
I can't believe this guy made those hot dogs. Like, after all this, he's like, I'm going to make a hot dog.
I'm
going to
make a hot dog.
That's crazy to me.
That's true. But, you know.
As someone who shares
ingenuity
a similar.
Ingenuity comes from anywhere.
Someone who shares a similar name to him. Good riddance.
What?
Dude, people misspell my name as like Nathan all the time.
Ethan and Nathan?
Yeah.
I've never even considered.
Yeah, they're very similar. Most of the time, it's that and Ian. Those are the two ones that get
Ian
pretty
possibly,
mixed up.
But no, man, that's crazy. It's I would
weird.
Never consider you
I wouldn't think
Nathan.
That either, but yeah. people do.
Well,
people
I'm not do. One of those people. So
no,
Nathan and Sophie and Stingo all have a little picnic, and then Nathan gives Stingo a shit ton of money. And Nathan's like, I need you to finish your book, the book that you want to write. Here's a bunch of money so you can
finish
advance. It. Yeah, in advance. And then this scene sort of ends. And again, I don't know shit. All I know about Nathan is that he's got a shitty brother.
Seems cool so far.
He seems pretty nice.
Yeah.
And then Stingo goes back to the house, to the boarding house. And the lady that runs the boarding house is like, did you hear about Nathan? And I'm like, yeah, I heard that Nathan is going to marry Sophie.
Yeah.
But then Stingo's like, no, I didn't hear about Nathan. And I'm like, yeah, you did. You fucking know they're going to get married.
Yeah, but why would she know about that?
Well, she's just like, well, yeah. She's like, you didn't hear about Nathan? And he's just like, no, I didn't know. I didn't hear about Nathan. And she's like, yeah, he, him and his team cured polio.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Good for them.
But we know he's lying because he doesn't have a team.
But maybe someone at Pfizer did.
Possibly. So then Sophie and Nathan are suddenly gone. And this guy, Morris... Who
Morris, I've never heard this man.
Morris
okay.
shows up and he's just like, yeah, Nathan and Sophie left. And I guess like Nathan is starting to imagine things and he started yelling at Sophie and then he left. And he's really like blasé about this whole thing. And this is the first I'm hearing about Nathan not being a good guy. And Stingo is like, what the fuck? And then all of a sudden a phone call.
So far, I feel like the most coherent thing you've seen in your half is
the
flashback.
Auschwitz thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It is. And then all of a sudden a phone call comes in and I hear Nathan on the other end of the phone call. Stingo answers the phone. Stingo's like, hey, who's this? And Nathan's like, God damn you to hell forever for betraying me. And I'm like, whoa, what the fuck is going on now with Nathan? And then Sophie arrives and she's in tears and she's like, Nathan tried to break my arm and he has a gun.
This is crazy.
I'm just like, what in the
this
fuck?
This movie feels schizophrenic.
I was like, Wait. I thought this was about a lady who went to a concentration camp and came back with, like, serious
all
problems.
All these boys got this weird drama that don't matter.
No! And she's just like, he has a gun, I think he's gonna use it. And then Nathan calls again, and the both of them on the line, he starts calling Sophie a whore, and he says...
This is the movie that made people be like, I'm not gonna listen to my neighbors anymore. I'm just gonna close the doors when they start arguing.
It's fucking bananas.
He could have ignored all of this if he just was like, I'm gonna just hang out in my home.
I'm never gonna go anywhere, right?
Right.
And then Nathan's on the line, and he's just like, he calls Sophie a whore, and then he says, I've got a gun, and they're like, we're going to come.
I love that's the fact that, like, that's the time when you know Nathan's on one of his moods, when he's just like, what do you feel about Sophie? Whore! All right.
She's a whore.
She's a
whore.
Okay. He's on one of his things.
Yeah.
Most times he's like, she's the most beautiful goddess ever. Yeah.
Now she's a whore.
Now she's a whore.
And he knows that Stingo and Sophie are fucking each other.
Are they?
No, they're not.
But he thinks it
because he's a fucking paranoid schizophrenic. And then they're like, we're gonna come get you, Nathan. We're gonna make sure you're okay. And then Nathan's on the phone. He says, no, I'm going to come get you with my fucking gun. And then you hear it, like, shot on the other end of the line.
What the fuck?
And I'm like, what in the fuck happened?
When's
she
going to make a choice? What is the choice at this point?
Well, okay. It's just escape at this point. When we saw the trailer at the Vista together, I was like, the choice is clearly between Nathan and...
That's what I was thinking. I thought both of them would have fucking, like, cancer. Right? And, like, her...
Both of them would have cancer.
Okay, there are some sort of incurable disease.
Okay, yeah.
But she has, like, a liver that could save them. And she has to make a choice, but she's dying anyway. She has to make a choice, but it's impossible to choose between a lover or this innocent boy who could be so good to the rest of the world with his art.
With his writing. The narrator of the movie. I wonder who she'll choose.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? So, Sophie...
I've never been more invested in the second half than this movie. Because, okay. Like, it's just unhinged at this point.
So, Sophie and Stingo are in a little train together. Uh-huh. And, again, all this shit is happening so quickly. Like, I cannot tell you how, like, it was like whiplash. Mm-hmm. It was like, suddenly Nathan's a bad guy and he has a gun and he's going to shoot someone. And then all of a sudden, I think Nathan is put in, like, a mental institution off camera. And they're in a car together. Sophie and Stingo are in a car together. And Sophie's like, I don't care if I die. I just don't want Nathan to die without me, she says. And she's like, has a bottle and she's drinking out of the bottle, like in public. And so Stingo and Sophie are now in a hotel room together. And Stingo's like, hey, you know, we're going to go on a trip together, me and you. We're going to go to all these different places. We're going to go to Washington, D.C. And then we're going to go, you know, down to the South. We're going to go together. I'm going to show you my family and all that stuff.
Okay.
And Sophie's like, where are we really going, Stingo? And she's, like, really drunk at this point.
Uh-huh.
And Stingo's like, here's the thing, Sophie. I love you, and I want to marry you.
Oh my God.
She's saying this to her in a little hotel room, the two of them together. And she's like, here's what she does. She shrugs, and then she's like, fine, let's go downstate together. But she says, I will not get married to you right away. And he's like, no, we have to get married because downstate, everyone's Christian. Like, we have to get married because people are going to ask questions. And she's like, I want you to be the mother to my children.
What
you know,
is happening?
I want you to be my wife. I want to raise children with you. And she's just like, no, Stingo, I'm much older than you. And she's just like, let's give ourselves some time. And he says, no, you're going to be a great mother, Sophie.
What's happened to Nathan again? He just run off?
Nathan's in, like, a mental institution.
Okay.
And Sophie's like, it would not be fair to your children to have me as a mother.
Oof.
And he says, no, you would be the best mother, Sophie.
And she's
Are you ready, Ethan?
Oh, no.
Because something else. What do you think happens?
I don't even fucking know, man. This movie is just off the rails at this point. I have never expected this movie... I'm so glad we picked Sophie's Choice, because what is this movie? This is not at all what I expected.
No,
this is insanity.
Well, here he goes. Oh, she's like, God. I would be a terrible mother, you see, because, she says, when we first arrived in Warsaw, the concentration camp, it was nighttime, and one of the officers saw me and wanted to have sex with me, and I had my two children with me, and the officer took a liking to me. And I told him that I was Christian and that I was a Polish person. I wasn't a Jewish person. And he says, well, I will take pity on you, Sophie. He says, okay. He says, you know, children, you're a Christian. And, you know, Jesus said that the children shouldn't suffer, you know. And so he says, I'm going to give you a choice, Sophie. I want you to choose which of your children die.
Ah, that's Sophie's choice. We got there. Possible choice.
So remember, and it is an impossible choice. And yeah. So I remember when I said, she says that she arrived at the concentration camps and they chose the daughter to die.
Yeah.
And the son to go off to the children's camp.
Uh-huh.
She chose the daughter to die.
Oof.
Because he's like, either you choose which kid dies or both of them die. And so she's like, my daughter. And they take the daughter away from her. And the daughter's screaming.
Oof.
Screaming. And Sophie is screaming. The daughter's screaming. This scene was agonizing. Nice. The daughter's just pulled away. And she's like, we don't talk about marriage. And we don't talk about children. Because I can't do that.
Yeah.
I can't be a mom. I can't get married.
That's fucked. Yeah.
And she's like, the only person that like really understands who I am deep inside is like Nathan.
Wow. Because says. He's
because he's just as like, I think she sees herself as so messed up and she sees that Nathan is messed up.
Yeah.
You know,
Nathan needs that damage tattoo above his head.
Yes, he's damaged. And she's like Harley the Joker. Yeah. And she's Harley Quinn. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. She's daddy's little monster. And so where do you think this movie goes from here? Right?
Okay.
I know I keep asking you this
they
question.
They go to the South and he's like, look, everyone, it's Sophie. She went through the Holocaust. Isn't that crazy? And they're all like, wow.
Yeah. And do they get married? Do they have kids?
No, I think she leaves and goes to Nathan. She goes and lives in the mental institute with him.
That's such a good ending. So then that night.
I don't know if it's a good ending. It's just the only one I can think of.
That night, that night. Let's call him Stokey.
Stokey!
That light, Stingo and Sophie lay in bed together. And they kiss. And they make love.
Oh!
And the narration pops in. A narration I had forgotten all
Stingo
about.
Stingo Dingo.
And old Stingo says, I was 22 and a virgin. And my lust was inexhaustible. And hers was an escape from grief. And I'm just like, Stingo? She just came out and told you a lot of shit. I don't think.
And you're like, man, but I still got a nut, bro. Yeah. I still got a fucking cum in that Sophie. You know what I'm saying?
And then.
Sophie's choice to nut.
My choice? Yeah, do I pull out or not? And so then it's the next morning and Stingo wakes up and Sophie is gone and Sophie has left a little note for him to read. And the note is so fucking funny. Like I don't know if the movie did this on purpose, but she opens and closes the note and she says, Stingo, you are a great lover. And closes the note saying that shit.
She says the beginning and the end.
She starts out the note saying, you are a great lover.
I thought she opened it and it said, Stingo, you're a great lover. She closed it. And she's like, no, that's what I want to say. And then she opened it again said, Stingo, you're a great lover.
She writes the note and the first line is like, Stingo, you're a great lover. However, I love Nathan. I have gone back to Nathan. I felt so bad. I wanted to kill myself. You are a great lover. And he wakes up to this note. And then he goes back to the boarding house to see, like, what happened. And he gets there, and there's cops everywhere.
Oh, shit.
And we hear words from the cops, and they keep saying stuff like cyanide.
Oh, no, not the cyanide word.
And then Stingo goes in, and he sees Nathan's brother. And Nathan's brother looks so fucking disappointed in Stingo.
Stingo, you had one fucking job.
And one job,
watch
Stingo.
My family.
And then they go upstairs.
Oh, no.
And they see Nathan and they see Sophie and they're in bed together and they're holding hands and they're dead.
Oh, my God. We're dying, yeah. Sophie. Yeah. Okay. How did this affect you? How were you feeling during this moment?
I was so upset at Stingo. I was like, Stingo, you fucking asshole.
How are you supposed to prevent people from that, though?
Talk to them.
He was really talking.
No, he wasn't. He was listening. Yeah, and then he fucked her.
Yeah.
You know, that's, like,
He's also 23. What do you expect him to do?
I know. This is a lot for Stingo, but I'm like,
this guy just moved to New York just thinking he could write a great American novel.
You're right. I guess it's more the fact that he's played by like what looks like a 40-year-old man. But I'm just like, Stingo, you got responsibilities. Don't talk about how much you want to fuck Sophie. Maybe talk about how like Sophie went through a lot. And, you know, she needs someone,
oh my God.
You know, maybe don't trick her into going to a hotel room and then go like, I want to take you back home and marry you and have babies. Like, you know, like that might have given her the inkling to go like, I don't think I want to wind up with Stingo. I don't know. I really didn't feel bad for Stingo. I felt bad for Sophie.
Yeah.
I felt really bad for Sophie. Because it's just like, I think it's like Meryl Streep is just so good in this role where you just see this person who's like so full of self-hatred and survivor's guilt that she's like surrounded herself with this person like Nathan, who's just this awful, terrible person for her and for most people. And she's just like, this is what I deserve. You know, this is the kind of love that I need. You know,
chaotic,
I just
feel fine.
I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
And so Stingo, you know, they're dead, and Stingo finds an Emily Dickinson book, and he reads from the Emily Dickinson book over their bodies, and then the movie ends with Stingo walking on the Brooklyn Bridge, and he says, so ended my voyage of discovery. And I'm like, Stingo, go fuck yourself. This isn't your voyage of discovery. This is a woman's life.
Voyage of discovery. Yeah. I just hang out with people's lives, and I try to fuck them. And then they die.
I don't know why.
Oh, weird.
And so then the movie ends with him walking on the Brooklyn Bridge, and then it like, walking off the Brooklyn Bridge, walking over the Brooklyn Bridge, and then it like fades to white, and then you see like Meryl Streep's like Sophie's face over the white for like 30 seconds.
Okay.
And then the credits roll. And that's the end of the movie.
Weird ending. Mm-hmm. Weird movie. I thought Sophie's choice would be more like, we're agonizing over this choice, but it's just like, no, we revealed the choice.
The choice had already happened.
We're just revealed over it, and you're just like, whoa, that sucks. You had to make that decision. It's like, yeah, it did suck, but like, what are we doing here?
I feel like the whole Holocaust thing really wound up getting lost in the like weird like love triangle.
Yeah. It was such a messy movie. Like,
yeah,
this
movie's
is just
a real messy film.
It's a real messy film. It has some interesting moments. Like, I do think that twist of like, oh shit, her dad was actually a piece of shit, and she tried to use that to get out. Like, that whole Holocaust stuff was like really interesting. And then you got fucking Stingo and Nathan, and I'm just like, I don't give a shit about these guys.
I know. Go fuck. They can live or die. I don't give a shit about
them. Yeah, they should have taken cyanide together, is what I'm saying.
Well, clearly, like, Stingo had a thing for Nathan, you know? So the two of them.
He was like, he's so charismatic.
That's the other thing. I was like, oh, maybe this is a movie about, like, these three people, and they love each other so much, and they're going to, like, you know, they're going to.
I thought there'd be weird drama between that, like, in Cabaret or something. But, like,
really.
No, not at all. It's just like, oh, my God, what a fucking disappointment.
And this is what I mean. There is a good hour and a half long movie.
You could edit this movie to be something like pretty impactful, pretty good.
I
was like, oh man, maybe Mike's being dramatic, maybe it's like a 2-hour movie you could like edit down, but like
no.
Sounds like an hour and a half movie you could edit dramatically.
Like, truly, the minute I'm like I want to say the last 30 minutes is just like following Stingo around as he bumbles around the fucking relationship between Sophie and Nathan. God. I'm just like, could not give less of a shit about this after seeing what fucking poor Sophie has gone through in her life. You know, I don't know.
It's just such a weird way to like, I mean, I know you're joking about like, how is this Women's Month again? But like, it's all contextualized through a man's point of view.
That's true.
And it's just like, this is just not interesting to me. Like, it just really is just not some new perspective I got. It's just like, do you want this like 20-something-year-old white guy to be like, oh, well, you know, sounds like that relationship was really bad. It really sucks to have this life. And it's like,
I guess at least I got my rocks off.
It's like, I might as well read a journalist's like take on, I don't know, some survivor's account, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's not much different than that. It's like, no, I want to hear it from the perspective. I want to hear it from the sites. I want to see what they're thinking.
Yeah.
I want to see how they decide. And, like, all of it just feels so sidelined to, like, caring about, like, Nathan's ego and his schizophrenic tendencies. And then fucking Stingo's just there.
Yeah.
Coming off of Porky's, you know? It's such a fascinating film.
It's a strange film. I don't know. I understand why, also, like, why Meryl Streep, like, sounded like she, like, really fought for this role. And I understand why. This is an incredible role. caught in the middle of a very strange film.
Yeah.
But I also understand the impact, because like I feel like a lot of it's the same thing as like, remember when we saw like Saturday Night Fever and we were like, oh, people only remember certain aspects of this movie. I feel like it's the same thing with like
you're
Sophie's
totally
Choice.
Right. You're
I feel
absolutely
like
right.
No one remembers fucking Stingo and Nathan.
No, they remember the part where it's like, wouldn't it be really hard to choose between which child of yours dies?
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that would be hard.
Yeah.
Also, it's you want to fuck this Southern man and maybe marry him?
What an awful choice between a Southern man who cannot possibly contextualize the life that you had and a paranoid schizophrenic who at least like
is extremely abusive,
feeds into your like survivor's guilt and the feeling that you are like a worthless, terrible
convinces
person.
Convinces you to make cyanide. I guess that's the real choice, right?
That's all. That's ultimately like the sad tragedy of the movie. Again, I understand like the reasoning behind like why a lot of this like takes place. Just it's like, you know, that thing of like, you couldn't make this movie nowadays. You really couldn't make this movie nowadays because I think you'd make a better movie nowadays.
You can make a better movie nowadays.
Yeah.
So you didn't really like it?
I liked aspects.
Yeah,
I didn't
that's like
the
I
whole movie.
There is like you said, 50% of it's good, right? Mm-hmm. Like the other half is good. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put these two together, cut some stuff.
And that's what's so solid about this podcast.
Yeah.
Guys. Yeah.
We could put together our two movies and find something in there. Yeah. But. Yeah, it's just such a messy movie. I was
really
so surprised
is.
By how messy it was.
Yeah, very messy, very messy. But, you know, guys, I mean, I would recommend watching it for Meryl Streep's performance. What other Meryl Streep performances would you guys recommend? I know, you know, this is, what, her second Oscar win. There's any other movies that you feel like we should check
what was
out
the first
of
first Oscar win?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Look it up. Email us at emailtheotherhalfpodcast.com. You can also find us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We're on Blue Sky. And we're also on Discord. Check us out on Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous episodes, as we've mentioned several times, we had an entire Women's History Month. You can check them out on any podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it in the show, no matter what it says. In fact, we will transcribe it. As long as there's no, you know, strange, anti-Semitism to it.
Please, please no. Oh, Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, I've never seen Kramer versus Kramer.
Oh, really? I watched Kramer versus Kramer.
I've always wanted to see Kramer
versus
Kramer.
It's pretty good, but that's such a wild choice.
Yeah,
it's
well, I know she did a good job in it.
Also, she won for the Iron Lady. She's got 3 Oscars. I didn't know that.
She did. She had 3 Oscars, yeah. No.
I mean... Sure, she's really good. Oh,
she's
wait.
Incredible.
And she was nominated for even The Post and like nominated multiple times.
Yeah,
that's
she's,
crazy.
I mean, I'm sure she's nominated up the butt.
she is. I keep going. There's a lot of nominees.
There's a lot. I mean, understandably. Was she nominated for Mamma Mia?
Mamma Mia? You know, I don't think I see that one on here.
What a strange
Weirdly,
idea.
Weirdly, nominated for The Devil Wears Prada, though.
Shocking.
Which is crazy to
Shocking.
Me. We watched the movie for the podcast ages ago.
We did watch that movie for the podcast.
Yeah, that's a
Check
long
it out.
Ago.
I'm sure it's a great episode. But yeah, so that's it. What a strange film.
Really, I'm glad we watched this movie because it's one of my favorite types of movies for this podcast, which is just such a mixed bag. Such a mixed bag.
It's my favorite movie for the podcast because it's in the zeitgeist. I already knew. Here's the thing. I knew the movie was going to be about a woman having to choose between her children.
Sure.
But... so much of the movie wasn't that
no.
I was like, maybe it isn't.
Yeah.
Maybe this is some weird, cruel joke that people have made about the film.
The choice was so small.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big choice, right? But like,
it's a big choice, but it's such a small part of the movie.
So part of the movie, yeah. It's very strange.
Incredible film. No.
Incredibly interesting film.
Incredibly interesting film. Incredible performance. Check it out. This Meryl Streep lady, she's going places.
She's going places. You know, all those nominations, she probably should win a couple.
Probably. At least 3 of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
Why not? The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.